William Rhett Pelham's Punch Bowl, as I am covering for William tonight. Happy to do so, a man after my own heart. And welcome to everyone to the show here on Republic Broadcasting Network. And always remember to keep us on the air and be as generous as you can and keep free speech alive, because I think this platform is unique. It's right up there anyway, I think, with the cutting edge of free speech. So keep us on the air. I know it's, and when we look at what's happening around the world, it's good to have people who speak freely as we possibly can anyway. And so you can do that by going to the homepage of Public Broadcasting Network, republicbroadcasting.org. The various options are there. By credit card, you can send in the addresses there. Send in postal orders or checks, gold coins, silver coins, whatever you want.
Have you seen what's happened to the price of gold? It's skyrocketing.
Yeah, and you can see the various options, including PayPal, and which is on the right-hand side. So I'm joined by Dr. Patrick Slattery, joining me here to keep the cover for William here on William Red Pelham's Punch Bowl. And yeah, is gold going up? That was a good impression.
That was a pretty good impression. Well, apparently, and the same experts that predicted it at 3,000 an ounce are now predicting at 4,200 an ounce. I'm so glad I got my gold. It's not too late for you to get yours.
That's a pretty good impression, man. I was watching the judge the other day, and I was thinking, the judge is the only guy I know whose hair gets darker as he gets older. It's a strange phenomenon.
Yeah,
it's like he's like the Benjamin Button of hair.
He is a Benjamin Button of hair. Well, you can see pictures of him when he was a kid. A lot of people don't know this, but he was a child actor, and he played Eddie Munster on the TV show The Munsters. But I just want to say, before we get going, I just want to say that yesterday I had recorded my show and then forgot to send it in. And the network notified me with like 10 minutes left, and they said, well, William Repelham is willing to jump in and do your show. And I thought, well, that's nice. But I did manage to get it sent in. But he extended the offer to me to sub for me. And so I'm...
Who, sorry?
William.
Oh, okay, William. Okay, so he was listening. And
he was willing to jump in and cover for me, and I appreciate that. But I'd already
free speech was your show.
Yeah, oh, yesterday.
What kind of free speech was your show yesterday? Yeah.
I think that yesterday's show was the it was the bad dream of free speech, something like that. I had a weird.
We got a
dream.
New one.
Yeah. Well, so what is it today?
We got a new one we just mentioned. Yeah, what was the one we mentioned today?
I don't know. That was like 4 minutes ago. I can't remember.
The dirty dog of free speech.
Oh, yeah, it was the dirty dog of free speech. Well, my dogs are clean. They're very clean right now.
No, that's good.
That way. Not like my mouth on David Duke's show today. My mouth was not clean. I wasn't able to keep it classy.
Ah, well, these things happen. Like I said, I think, you know, we're all human, and sometimes it can be actually more entertaining when people let loose and they go nuclear with no filter.
Yeah, well, I didn't drop any A-bombs or H-bombs, but I did drop some F-bombs, which is uncharacteristic for me. I usually have better control, but...
I'm going to check that out later for just my own amusement. You know, by the way, you're not the only one, because usually, even though he's a little ornery underneath, you know, things, Larry Johnson was on. Larry, why are we attacking Iran? He was on Dialogue Works. And he was swearing left, right, and center. I winced a couple of times after, because he's on with that very mild-mannered Mirandi guy from Iran, who seems to think that Iran is like, I don't know, it's a mixture of the United States and the Soviet Union put together with its immense power. And then, yeah, and then last night happened. It's like, I'm going to interested to hear Mirandi. But he's a nice guy, Mirandi. He's at the University of Tehran or something. And,
no, he's at a university in Brazil. He is of Iranian background.
Okay. And because he's very mild-mannered, and so is NEMA.
I'm sorry. I was thinking you were talking about NEMA. So you're talking about somebody else who probably is at a university in Iran.
No, Mirandi's the guest. He's a professor at the University of Tehran, I believe.
Okay.
But
he's got kind of like a grayish beard and dark hair. Is that, and maybe... maybe glasses, mid-40s, something like that?
No. He's older than that. I'd say he's probably, in his 60s.
Okay.
But he's very mild-mannered, like Nima. And then you had Larry was all swearing left, right, and center. And also, this is Larry Johnson talking about. And also, Larry didn't refer to Israelis or Zionists. Larry is now using the word Jews, and he said we shouldn't be surprised by these decapitation tactics of the Jews, because the first decapitation was the decapitation of Jesus Christ, and how did that work out?
Did he say that?
Yeah, he did, and sometimes it takes these guys for something. You know, it always has to get really bad before they start talking about it, but he's talking about Jews now. I didn't hear him saying Israelis, Zionists, nothing once, Jews. And I was listening to Douglas McGregor, who's kind of closer to our camp, on the judge the other day, and he was talking very much about Jews as well. I didn't hear a lot of Zionists or Israelis, it was Jews. But Larry Johnson would be talking like that about Jews, and the first decapitation was Jesus Christ, and how did that work out? And it was interesting, as I say, he was on, and he was swearing, so he was on Dialogue Works with Nima earlier. I only listened to a bit of it. But yeah, so Patrick, last night we had these attacks. The speculation before was generally, you had Rubio talking, you had Trump, obviously, alluding to something that could go down, and we're pulling our troops out. It could get nasty over there, but we'll see. We want diplomacy, if at all possible. And so, the theories were that. Just bear with me while I try and outline this myself.
Okay.
The two theories, the two camps, I think, were that this was kind of posturing, that it's kind of designed to sort of maybe intimidate the Israelis or the Iranians into thinking, okay, the Americans are getting serious here, they're talking about a big attack, maybe it's time we just put our hands up and say, okay, you win, we don't want a war, we can tell you're getting serious, and, we're going to capitulate. The other theory was Israel, there is something going to go down, and Israel's going to attack. I didn't really know. It's always hard to know, although when you look at the Zionists that were there, they're always capable of it. And you can never put anything past them. And I thought maybe it'll happen, but I wasn't sure. But because it's entirely possible, you're not going to be that surprised. But still, when I watched it and you see these massive bombs and missiles going off in Iran, I was quite shocked. I was like, wow, they actually did it. And of course, there's all sorts of theories in the wake of this that did the Americans know? Well, the Americans admitted they did know, but that they weren't involved in it. But Rubio said, don't be striking, U.S. Bases. Another theory which seems to be getting a lot of traction, whether it's true or not, that's emerged, is that the whole thing was just a big fake, a deception between Netanyahu and the Jews in Israel and Trump to basically lure the Iranians into a false sense of security that there was going to be diplomacy, because the Americans were still talking and Trump was still talking about, we still hope we can reach a deal, and they were supposed to meet, I think, on Sunday. Then, of course, you've had people saying, the Israelis now have completely, given the Americans the middle finger and spat in the face of Trump's will for diplomacy. So it's all gone off. I think the idea, considering the rhetoric that this week, the idea that you're going to lure the Iranians into a false sense of security, and some of the rhetoric coming out of the Iranians was very passionate and defiant and hyperbolic, that somehow they were just caught napping. I find that hard to believe. I mean, they should be prepared at all times, and particularly this week of all weeks. So I'm not really sure I buy that. So what's your analysis? Obviously, the whole thing is I don't want to use that word, but it's a shit show, sorry. And you know, of course, you had Netanyahu out there doing the propaganda. It's a preemptive strike, which obviously suggested that Iran had planned to strike them. Talking about freedom, World War II, my own favorite bet noir, talking about appeasement, how we must stand up to evil if we're going to defend freedom and liberty, all spoken in English, you understand, for the American audience. And we need to defend ourselves from this tyranny, and we have to act now. And again, referring to Hitler in World War II and how that, you know, we allowed that to happen. And the usual platitudes and narratives coming out. I don't even, it's the whole thing is just, anyway, I will stop there. You can continue.
Yeah, well, so regarding the possibility of the Iranians napping or whatever. So, I don't know. The Israelis have a lot of advanced weaponry, and certainly they were able to get weapons through whatever defense systems Iran had. Now, you've got Iran's top military leaders have been decapitated, including maybe not their chief negotiator, but one of, I guess, the chairman of the committee that's in charge of the negotiations. Very much like Israel to murder the people they're negotiating with mid negotiation. Yeah, that's pretty typical. You could ask, well, why were they exposed? Well, can they live their whole life in a bunker? Can they live? You know, maybe they should have been in a bunker. I don't know. But, so that's, that I can't really address. As far as Trump and Netanyahu, I don't know exactly, but I'm willing to believe that Trump didn't want the Israelis to strike. He wanted to cut a deal and be seen as having, you know, brought peace through deal making, he's never been strong enough to take a position. He sometimes was saying, well, yeah, they can have enrichment, absolutely no enrichment, this and that. He won't stand up to the Jewish lobby. He won't stand up to Netanyahu. And it's very plausible that Trump didn't want this to happen, but Netanyahu said, well, I'm going to do it anyway. And Trump was like, well, I mean, you're going to do it. We're not helping. And Netanyahu just decided, well, you're not helping now, but you will, because almost every member of Congress is more loyal to me than to you. So Netanyahu is absolutely trying to drag the United States into a war for Jews, which has been his entire life purpose. That's his life mission. And will it work? I don't know. The last thing I'll say is I saw a little article in RT saying that President Putin has spoken both to the Iranian leadership and to Netanyahu. And to the Iranian leadership, he expressed condolence. To the Israeli, to Netanyahu, he expressed condemnation. So he's at least clearly taking a side. But, you know, taking a side, well, does that mean diplomacy? Does that mean he's threatening to use military action? I don't know. My guess is that Putin is going to try to become the mediator, because Trump can't be a mediator. And Putin is, you know, he has demonstrated determination in Ukraine. A lot of people think it's way too slow, but there's no doubt that the Russians are emerging victorious. And we'll see. I have very little hope for the American political process, and maybe we can talk about the events of this coming weekend, but I have very little hope for the American process. But I do hold out a certain amount of hope for Russia and China, the Russian-Chinese alliance that is increasingly becoming the center of a newly rearranged world system.
Yeah. When you, you know, my own view is that because of Trump's weakness when it comes to the Israelis, he may have stated publicly that he didn't, he wanted diplomacy, but I think he knew what was coming, but, and probably for his base, he wanted to sound like, you know, I really want diplomacy, but because of Jewish pressure, he you know, knew this was coming, but didn't want to look like he was participating in it, and knew that there would be a retaliation by the Iranians, and then if they hit the American bases, which they may well do, or if they hit Israel, then America will say, well, you know, they've hit an ally, or they've hit our bases, now we need to go in, we're at war with them. Regardless, Trump's, some of his messages since have just been not only bewildering, but quite frankly, just an absolute disgrace. In one post, he said, you know, he talked about it, and he said, I hope we can still get a deal with Iran, or, you know, negotiations, we'll see. But a few of those guys aren't there anymore. And so this is the basic, this is the tactic. You guys who have been negotiating with us, you're not really capitulating to our will, so we'll just kill you. And, you know, let's not forget here, despite the demonization and the hateful propaganda towards Iran, this is a sovereign nation. These are legitimate leaders of their country that they killed. Some of these guys they've been negotiating with, and it's just like, well, we didn't like, you know, how you were conducting negotiations. It wasn't really doing what we want you to do, so we're just going to kill you. Could you imagine if they killed a Russian general or a Chinese general? And then I'll just read this out, because the other one I was paraphrasing, but I do have this one. Like I said, it's as disgraceful as it is bewildering. He said, I give Iran chance after chance to make a deal. I told them in the strongest of words to, quote, just do it, unquote. But no matter how hard they tried, no matter how close they got, they just couldn't get it done. And I told them it would be much worse than anything they know, anticipated, or were told. That the United States makes the best and most lethal military equipment anywhere in the world, by far. That's an admission of involvement. And that Israel has a lot of it, with much more to come. And
with much more to come, yeah. With much more to come.
And that's... Yeah, well, this is you know, a clear statement of complicity. Yeah. They're using our weapons, and they're great, and okay.
And they're going to get more.
And they know how to use it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's more where that came from. Certain Iranian hardliners spoke bravely. Now, that is true, and he's kind of mocking them, because, it's got, you know, yeah, the day before, within 24 hours of one of these, like I said, they speak very passionately about it, the Israelis or the Zionist regime and their American backers attack us, you know, we're going to unleash hell and fury and whatever. One of those guys was killed within 24 hours. I think it was maybe Salami, the head of the IRGC.
Right now. Bye, 'cause I wanna
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pauty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Well, hello, folks. This is Mike Gatti, the Rebel Madman at Republic Broadcasting Network. If you are searching for your inner rebel, it can be found at the Dixie Republic. It's the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to thedixierepublic.com to view all of their Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through their extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in their Johnny Reb gun and leather shop. Now remember, DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Whole, not fractionated, not standardized, not adulterated, but pure and nature-made for excellent digestion, absorption, utilization, and elimination. Colorado Shilajit is raw, whole, unadulterated, and alive. Pre-processed Shilajit, imported from Himalayas, Russia, China, Pakistan, are most often cooked, boiled, smoked, and if it's legit, definitely beneficial, but maybe not truly whole. Only raw Shilajit provides the perfect balance of humic and fulvic acids with a complete essential mineral spectrum that is required to effectively energize cells and remove toxic metals, forever chemicals, synthetic hormones, pesticides, herbicides, and more. Pure raw Shilajit, legit Shilajit, Colorado Shilajit.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org. Watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
The head of the IRGC. So Trump was kind of mocking these guys. He said, though certain Iranian hardliners spoke bravely, but they didn't know what was about to happen. Again, that's a sign that he knew what was about to happen. Clear. They are all dead, in capital letters.
Yes.
And it will only get worse, exclamation mark. There has already been great death and destruction, but there is still time to make this slaughter. There is still time to make this slaughter with the next already planned attacks being even more brutal come to an end. So he's a peaceful guy, really. Iran must make a deal before there is nothing left, and save what was once known as the Iranian Empire. No more death, no more destruction. Capital letters, just do it before it's too late. God bless you all. I honestly don't know where to start with this guy. This guy, to me, sounds crazy. I mean, he's all over the place there. Who is this guy? Has he got... I don't know. It sounds like he's got a few personalities in there that haven't really reconciled into one person yet at 80 years of age.
Yeah. No, it's absolutely disgraceful. And, you know, betrays all... ignorance. First of all, the are American weapons by far the most lethal, by far?
Patrick, the connection's a little dodgy there. I can't really hear you. I don't know if your end or my end.
Okay. How about now?
That's a bit better.
All right. So, factually, you know, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Are American weapons really the most lethal by far? I mean, the most lethal weapons are thermonuclear bombs, and Russia's got actually even more than the United States has, and they've got plenty of power. In terms of delivery systems, you got, the Arezhnik hypersonic missiles that Russia has, and we don't. So, you know, you got these factual error there. The other thing is, this is just a minor thing, but Iran was never known as the Iranian Empire. It was the Persian Empire. There's the Persian Empire. I mean, that's like a silly little thing, but... and, you know, one thing is, I looked at this tweet or Truth Social post, and one of the hallmarks of the stuff that he writes in the middle of the night all by himself is bad punctuation, bad grammar, bad incorrect spelling, things like that. This actually seems like, and you know, you would hope it's been screened by people who speak English better than he does. It seems to have been. So it wasn't just something he shot off in the middle of the night. There was other eyes on it. And yet, you know, it had these mistakes. I don't know. Trump is—he's way in over his head. The sad thing is, the United States just doesn't have anybody, and I guess most countries don't. But the United States doesn't have anybody who's up to the job. Or anybody who's up to the job who has any prospect of actually getting the job.
Or anybody who would be allowed to do the job.
Yeah. So it's sad.
Because the country is controlled by Jews.
Because the country's run by Jews. And, you know, like, in my estimation, the Russians were just lucky that the Jews picked somebody to save the Jewish oligarchy who then turned on them. You know? And I suppose...
Yeah.
I suppose there's some sort of non-zero chance that, you know, somebody... Some young person like... some young ambitious person like Vance could...
Could wear eyeliner.
Could come into the office and turn on them, but he really doesn't look like the type that would do that. You know, I think the Russians really lucked out with Putin. I don't know. I mean, and to the extent I have any hope about anything, it's not in the American political process. I just don't see anything. Now, I do think we should discuss a little bit. So this is going to be aired Friday night. Saturday is Trump's birthday. He's having a big military parade that supposedly costs like $100 million in Washington, D.C., to celebrate America winning World War II. Yay! And so, you know, it's almost an afterthought. We haven't had these types of parades. Last time we had a military parade, I believe, was after George H.W. Bush's great victory over Saddam Hussein in 1991, where, by the way, he had the father of Bashar al-Assad, the army...
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. because you can handle the truth.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Just listen to what Wayne has to say.
Extendovite. I have been taking it for about 2 years, and I had really bad heart palpitations. And since I've been taking it, I don't have any major episodes at all anymore. I'm 76 years old, and I still play competitive basketball. Well, of course, I've taken care of myself really good since I was 60, but Extendovite really helped the blood pressure, really helped the... I used to get really bad episodes of heart palpitations, just skipping beats and double beats. But also, I wanted to tell you that I really appreciate your broadcast. They're just really refreshing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Hussein in 1991, where, by the way, he had the father of Bashar al-Assad, the army of Syria, the Syrian, what do they call it, the Syrian Arab army, was there. They were part of the parade. This isn't something that Americans do, is have military parades, but that's going on. Yeah, I was just going to say, but simultaneously, in every other city and town in America, there's going to be anti-Trump rallies called No Kings Day. And, the question is, those anti-Trump rallies are being organized by Jews on behalf of illegal aliens. Are there going to be peace demonstrations or anti-war demonstrations to piggyback on them? Are they going to be co-opted or usurped or hijacked?
I talk about the whole thing is just a mess. I've never known. It's easy to say that, but I've never known such a chaotic time. Oh yeah, you're right. Saeed Mohammed Mirandi, he does wear glasses and he does have dark hair. He's got a grey beard but dark hair. I don't know if he's been hanging out with the judge. Anyway, do you want to? I can.
Hey,
sorry.
That was the main strategy, in my opinion. They wanted to put Iran in a weaker position. But that doesn't change the mindset of Iranian. He knows that Iranians know what would be the red line. You're taking that.
Well, the Iranian government has not chosen to consult with me, and that's my opinion. If there are any Iranian officials making the case that the talks with the United States should continue, I think those officials should be immediately removed from office. There is no negotiation with the United States. Negotiations rest on a premise that if I tell you something, or I put my name on a piece of paper, or I sign a commitment on a piece of paper, that I'm going to do what I claim I'm going to do. And I'm trusting you that you're going to honor that agreement and do the same. The United States is not abided by hell of any agreement. You know, JCPOA, Donald Trump used it like toilet paper. Threw it away. And, you know, the French and then the Brits, did they honor that agreement? Absolutely not. And, you know, again, it's not to be too critical of the Russians and the Chinese, but, you know, they got played for fools. They literally thought, oh, we could sign on to this, we'll play with the West, we'll go along with this international rules-based order, we'll all get along. Sorry, it's bullshit. It's a lie. This is all about Europe and the United States wanting to take over and control Iran. It goes back to when they overthrew Mossadegh in 1953. They want control of the oil, the resources. They don't give a damn about the Iranian people. They can all fucking die for all the rest of us. It's the resources. It's the money. It's the oil. And it's sorry to be so cynical and angry about this. But this has been going on for too long. It's got to stop.
Anyway. Yeah.
So that's Larry. It's quite funny hearing him swear, but...
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
I don't know. I'm not sure I agree with
that. No, I mean, okay, so Mossadegh, they were overthrowing him, in 52? And, yeah, that was over oil. And but what's going on now, it's not for control of Iran's resources. It's for Israeli/Jewish domination of... or hegemony in the Middle East. Israel has to be the only country that has nuclear weapons. Israel has to have such massive military superiority over any possible constellation of adversaries that they will never do anything. That's, you know, so that the Israel doesn't have to play nice. It can do whatever the hell it wants, and everybody else just has to suck it up. And unfortunately, I mean, Trump... If you look at that tweet that you read, you know, where he was saying if the Iranians were smart, they'd make a deal. Really what he's saying is if the Iranians were smart like me, they would just suck off Netanyahu like I do. I think, I don't mean to be crude, but Trump has completely capitulated. And he's saying that's the thing to do. You have to capitulate to the Jews.
I think because of the internet and because of shows like this and YouTube and the explosion of more information, people educating themselves about the Zionist, the Greater Israel plan and the power of, you know, the Israeli lobby and Jewish power in America. I think a lot more people understand that. And I think, you know, this blind support, this automatic support of for Israel is a dying breed. And so I think, you know, it could be problematic for his base. People like Marjorie Taylor Greene and Tucker Carlson, even. These people are quite influential on Trump's base. They're not going to be fans of this.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be more difficult for Trump to certainly put troops on the ground and invasion, because we know that, you know, Netanyahu's ultimate goal is the Libyan model that he all told us about in his audacity a couple of months ago. The Libyan model with the Americans doing the fighting, you know. And so if you're a genuinely American first person, you're like, well, sorry, why should we go over and put troops on the ground and, you know, gut Iran and perpetrate a regime change for some country thousands of miles away that bleeds us dry of our money, that constantly interfering in our affairs and wants our soldiers to go and die? So that, you know, that people are cognizant of this now. Marjorie Taylor Greene and Tucker Carlson basically said as much in tweets and comments earlier this year when this thing was bubbling up to the surface. So I think that's going to be a problem for them. So maybe the goal will be to try and, you know, give Israel as many weapons as possible. But I don't think, you know, and then that tweet I don't think is going to go down well with not only Trump's base, but just anyone with any kind of conscience. I mean, the guy's just basically admitting if you don't negotiate with us the way we want you to negotiate, you're dealing with the United States and our great ally Israel with the biggest weapons in the world, and we're just going to kill you guys. I mean, you didn't make a deal with us, and now you're all dead. I mean, it's just, I'm speechless about it. I mean, even if you thought that, to air it publicly as the President of the United States, I mean, I can imagine that. I don't know. I mean, it's just shocking. It really is shocking. And this man, I think, so far in his this term as a president has been a disgrace in so many ways, and he doesn't do himself any favors. Because I want to kind of like Trump, and I do like him sometimes, but then you read tweets like that and you think, really, Donald? You know, are you trying to alienate your base? Are you trying to alienate your base, your own, anyone with any sensibilities and a conscience and humanity? You know, well, we're just going to kill everybody who doesn't believe us. And then on the back of it has the temerity to talk about how he wants to end the death and destruction. I mean, it's just like,
yeah,
it's head spinning. It really is.
It's head spinning, and then there's. So I don't know what's going to happen. The Ukrainian government.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Okay.
I'll tell you what should happen. Mm-hmm. Larry Johnson's very. Sorry to interrupt you, but Larry Johnson's 100% right about one thing. The Russians were taken for fools. Anybody who plays along with the Jews gets taken for fools. And once you have any real foundational understanding of what you're dealing with, you're dealing with a mad dog. And there's only one thing you can do with a mad dog. And you know, it's not about reasoning with them or entering into treaties with them. You know, he is going to want to subjugate you. And unless you stop him, he will subjugate you. And the time is going to come soon when the Israelis and generals and politicians and leaders and in America too need to understand that if you want to play by those rules, well, guess what? Last time I checked, you guys are made of flesh and blood too, and you can have a bullet put through your head, you know? And then what are you going to do? Because, you see, they're counting on that never happening because of Putin's mild-manneredness and, you know, not wanting to acknowledge reality, in my opinion. But the time has got to come where if people want to survive, they're going to have to realize what it takes to survive and what you're dealing with. You're dealing with something different here, you know, and it runs the United States and it runs Israel.
Well, okay, and I'm not arguing or pushing back on that. There is, you know, sometimes when you're trying to solve a problem, before you go to the drastic solution, you try everything else first. And once you've tried everything else first, then you can do the drastic solution with conviction, with confidence, right? There won't be any, well, I should have tried this or I should have tried that. I think what's happened with, what may be happening, I don't know, but what may be happening is that, you know, the Russians and the Chinese. I mean, Putin has admitted in the context of Ukraine and the Minsk Accords and whatnot that, yes, he was naive. Yes, he was taken advantage of. And once he came to that conclusion, what did he do? Well, he rolled tanks into Ukraine. And while it hasn't been a blitzkrieg, it's been grinding, and the Ukrainians have lost. It's unfortunate for the Ukrainians, but you know, they've lost all these men. The Russians have not lost that many, and the Russians are coming out of it much stronger. Now, with the Russians and the Chinese having gone along with the you know, the Iranian nuclear deal and this and that, and having been played for fools, as Larry Johnson says, and with the Israelis behaving as badly as they do, and well, there comes a time when Russia and or China, but Russia, most likely Russia and China, just say, look, we're the big kids on the block now, and that they will be able to operate with confidence, also with the support of the vast majority of the world, so that, you know, what the United States and Israel are doing are isolating them, plus some buffoonish stooges in Europe.
And they've reached that point, and the headless chickens in Europe are, you know, just that.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the Europeans, while they may make, you know, what do you call it, they give lip service to Palestinian statehood or something like that, they have to know that the Jews in Israel, they've got this Samson option, which means if we've got our back pushed to the wall, we're going to nuke European capitals. And, you know, to have successive German chancellors send nuclear-capable submarines to Israel. I mean, at least the Jews can be, while they may be accused of being willing to sell you the rope to hang them with, the Europeans are willing to give that rope away for free. So, I'll kick it back to you.
Yeah, well, the Europeans, in terms of what happened last night, have all come out and said, oh, Israel has a right to defend itself, and the usual platitudes and Zionist tropes. But it was interesting that, you know, Netanyahu was out there doing what he does last night. This is about freedom. We need to defend freedom because we have to learn the lesson from the biggest and worst war in our history, in World War II, because of appeasement. You know, and he's out there desperately pleading with the American and the Western people and their backers to, you know, get on board with us here, you know, doing his best. And it's just all, he's the most odious human being that I've witnessed in a long time. But I don't know. I mean, it's nigh on impossible after all the rhetoric from the Iranians not to retaliate and retaliate in a big way. Apparently, they've already sent 100 drones over there, but there's some questions as to whether that's even, you know, the veracity of that claim. And it's hard to know what the Israelis hit there last night. I mean, they did kill some people. We know that. That we know that the Mossad was in there doing covert operations and killing these guys, probably more likely than strikes. There was some huge explosions going on. They didn't even look like they were from missiles. These explosions just seemed to happen. So that those could be, you know, planted bombs rather than missile attacks. But what I did see of missiles in the initial stages, there wasn't much in the way of air defenses. But, you know, again, it's so easy. It's hard to know what's real when you're watching a lot of this stuff, you know? You just have to wait and see what comes out and what, you know, but as I said, it's very difficult to understand what. It does seem like it was a big operation, but it's difficult to know what, if anything, it really achieved, apart from killing these, just decapitation operation, that, you know, similar to what they did with Hassan Nasrallah, and they killed Ismail Haniyeh. The Houthis are probably going to keep their attacks going. I honestly don't think it's going to end well for Israel, but my biggest fear has always been if Israel becomes under too much pressure, that they will use a nuke on Iran or the Houthis. And say, and they'll just do the same thing again. History will start on the day Israel's attacked, and then Netanyahu will be out telling everybody, it was the last thing I wanted to do.
to use a nuclear weapon, but that's what they are for. We are under existential threat from the Iranians and the Houthis. And he would do the same in America. If Hitler had a nuclear bomb today, he would abuse it.
You know, it's like, I put nothing past these people, you know. In fact, they're already using that language, existential threat, to justify this. That was another word that was, you know, concerning. Iran's an existential threat to us. We have to act now, you know.
Sur mon lit à bouffer sa langue en buvant en mon whisky. Quant à moi, peu dormi, vie débris. Mais j'ai dû dormir dans la gouttière où j'ai eu un flash. En quatre couleurs. Allez hop, un matin, une louloute est venue chez moi. Poupée de cellophane, cheveux chinois. À ce paradra, une gueule de bois. A bu ma bière dans un grand verre en caoutchouc. Son igloo, ça plane pour moi, ça plane pour moi, ça plane pour moi, moi, ça plane pour moi, ça plane pour moi. Allez hop, la nana, quel panard, quelle vibration de s'envoyer sur le paillasson, limé, ruiné, vidé, comblé. You are the king of the divan, qu'elle me dit en passant. I am the king of the divan. Ça plane pour moi. Ça plane pour moi. Ça plane pour moi. Moi. Ça plane pour moi. Ça plane pour moi. Allez hop, t'occupe, t'inquiète, touche pas ma planète. Que le ciel me tombera sur la tête et que la colle me manquera. C'est marre à tout casser, l'évier, le bar me laissant seul, comme un grand connard. Le pied dans le plat, ça plane pour moi, ça plane pour moi, ça plane pour moi.
They're already using that language, existential threat, to justify this. That was another word that was, you know, concerning.
Iran's an existential threat to us. We have to act now, you know. So, God knows where this is going to end.
Yeah, nobody knows. I don't know. What I will say is that while Israel might be better armed than Iran, they may be militarily stronger, but they're also very vulnerable because of their very small size, because of their geography, because I mean, mostly because of their small size, but they're also surrounded by neighbors who they have made hate them. So they're not in a great position. And they're also vulnerable because even if Iranian missiles and drone attacks aren't able to do substantial damage to the state or the Israeli military, the Israeli people, they're a bunch of Jews and they're paranoid. And they'll have a demographic problem if all the if the Jews all leave and they go other places, because you know they don't want to live in anything like the kind of you know, risk from attack that they subject everybody in the region to. So there's a lot of vulnerability there. Yeah.
Well, that was the whole point of apparently the whole point of the state of Israel, for safety and security for the long-suffering Jews. But yeah, I mean, the Israelis need to keep the Americans in there because they, you know, they have made so many enemies in the region that, you know, everyone will round on them. So it's going to be very interesting to see where it goes.
Well, there's one more point I'd like to make regarding Trump. So, I mean, already virtually half of the Congress hates him, and virtually half of the population hates him. He's had supporters, but you know, you're talking about his base. All you have to do is peel Massey and Marjorie Taylor Greene off of the Republicans, and Trump is impeached again. Then you have a trial in the Senate. Well, you know, if he goes gung ho for war, maybe he can keep the Republican senators, but that's an awful big price to pay. So, there's a lot of trouble coming down. But anyway, we're pretty close to being out of time, so I'll can it for now. Turn it back to you.
Yeah, like I said, there's a lot going on, and it's quite head spinning. And you know, Trump it might you know, not end too well for him. Just, you know, on what you mentioned, it might not end too well for Israel either. I mean, they ought to look at their own history and see where it all ended, because, you know, reasonable people usually have their limits, you know, so. Be careful what you wish for. You can, you know, they have a long history of overreach and aggression, which is always their undoing. Because guess what? You know, people don't like being subjugated, but, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining me, Patrick. I appreciate it. And obviously, we're covering for William Rev Pillum on his show. It's Friday the 13th, where I am in London, a little bit of time, and when this show will be aired. It'll be Saturday by the time it does air, where I am. Interesting date for Israel to start to attack Iran, Friday the 13th, in the early hours of Friday the 13th. But anyway, that's another story.
Yep.
Okay, and I will be live. Well, I don't know where I'll be live, but I'll have a show on my show, The Last Man Standing, on Sunday at 1 p.m. Central, 2 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. if you're in the UK. Until Sunday, take care and God bless.
Have you ever planted a tree for your home garden, orchard, or farm? Well, you'll know how frustrating it is when deer don't stop nibbling at them and you lose years of growth. We have a very economic solution called Tree Savers. It's basically a greenhouse tube at a very economical price. Most of the tubes are $3 to $4, depending on the length that you want. Very easy installation. Check us out at furion.com. Furious Growth, that's furion.com. Susanna's Secret Real Essential Oils of Nature would like to thank you and RBN listeners for your previous purchases. We're announcing that we have a new waterless diffuser in stock with a full one-year warranty. You just insert the bottle to the top, screw it in, tip it upside down, set your timer, or it's also motion-activated at FURION.com. That's FURION.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.